Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up, Sedano with you here. 710 ESPN, Clinton Yates hanging out with us here. Steve Mason going to stop by in 20 minutes. Sean McVay at 11:30. And Ben Lyons for our movie review at 11:45. Action-packed last hour for you here, presented by Progressive Insurance and our friends at Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. And are you missing baseball? We were just talking baseball. Tune in tomorrow night for an MLB Classic Game 3 of the 2018 World Series between the Dodgers and Red Sox. Presented by Progressive Insurance, coverage begins at 5 Pacific on ESPN Radio here on 710 ESPN and the ESPN app. And, God, man, they're always playing these bad Dodger games, like in the World Series. They keep playing these Astros games and Red Sox games. Get the 88 game back on radio or something. So, Bergman, you were going to ask Clinton something before we move on to the Lakers and what Frank Vogel was talking about with us and the schedule. Go ahead.
I just believe that at some point a manager can take a team only so far, and I was wondering if Clinton thinks the same.
And what I said is, whilst that may be true, I find that to be a slightly defeatist outlook on team building and roster management and franchise construction.
Yeah.
I try to avoid that in general.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. I just think that, again, a manager's like worth five games, you know? Like, yeah. Come on. So, all right, let's switch over to Frank Vogel. You can make the case a basketball coach, particularly in a short series, could make more of an impact. Although I think that more of an impact than a baseball manager. At least I feel. So Frank Vogel was on. Frank's done a fantastic job with the Lakers. So I asked him, Clinton, yesterday about, hey, now that you're armed with hindsight and you're like a film nut, right? You started in the video room. You're always watching video. What have you seen that maybe stood out to you that you maybe hadn't noticed previously when you were actually in the midst of all of this? And here's what he said.
Well, I think just going back and watching our tapes now, you know, in hindsight with some time in between the games, we're better than I felt when we were in the season. You know, when you're coaching the team, every little thing that's wrong, you know, you want to correct it, you want to get it better, you want to improve it, you want to fix it. But if you step away, like we've been able to do, you know, the film that I've been watching up late, and, you know, really exciting and encouraging, you know, for me, for, you know, basically leaving me with the feeling that I wouldn't want to play against us because we have a heck of a team. You know, we're doing some really good things with our running game offensively, our spacing, our ability to play with the pass. You know, we've been impressive on film for the studies that I've done of late, and just left me encouraged and eager to get back.
So it just kind of reminds me of the old adage of, you know, whatever it is, can't see the forest for the trees or whatever. Yeah. It is. It just feels like some of that. Do you believe that they're better than maybe we gave them credit for as we have hindsight now?
I would believe that if they had the best overall record in the league when the league stopped, but they don't. So I think they were very good. Is somebody looking around saying, oh, yeah, Lakers, kind of bum team? Nah, not at all. They were, I mean, I think the Lakers were hitting on cylinders that had not yet reached their peak. Absolutely. With 20 games left to go in the regular season, that's the biggest bummer about all this for Lakers fans, that they really were trending in the right direction. They really were improving on what they had, and they really were becoming the best possible version of themselves, and they did not yet get to it. That's the way I looked at what Frank Vogel was saying. You know. Also, by the way, he said earlier in the week something that I don't think we've heard anybody say in a work context in a long time. These Zoom meetings have really been exciting and encouraging. Like, I love the fact that Frank is getting pumped up for Zoom calls, you know what I'm saying, for his coaching staff. And so he's got the right attitude. And if they're watching film and breaking it down, he's shouting out his guys, that's cool. You know what I mean? That is the bonus of having four head coaches on your bench instead of one, is that when it comes down to film study and breakdown, you got a lot more general, you know, wealth of knowledge there than a lot of other teams have. It's a fantastic situation for the Lakers in terms of recharging batteries and regrouping from a strategy standpoint.
Now, I don't know if you saw Ramona's story that popped right before the show, like maybe 20 minutes before we hit the air, which is she spoke to Michelle Roberts, and in that story, there was a specific thing that was discussed, right? Like Michelle basically said that the bubble thing is a non-starter based on the way it was described to her, where it was hotel to the arena, arena to the hotel. And, you know, her response was, where are the armed guards? You know what I mean? Right. Like, this seems too strict. And in the story, Ramona then says that she talked to sources that believe that the NBA would be more in line with doing a modified bubble, right? Like a semi bubble, if they were allowed to compromise, where players would be able to have their families there and they weren't subjected to the harsh social isolation or even surveillance measures that the league has discussed with them at this point. How do you feel about all that?
So Alcatraz versus Disney World is basically what we're talking about.
Yes.
In terms of the two options. I liked the Disney World option to begin with. We talked about this. I was like, listen, throw everybody at a resort, make me a reality show channel for every single team in the league that's in the playoffs, and let's go from there. I like that idea. It's a little bit fantastical, of course, but I think Ramona's right. You can't have a situation, and we even saw MLB players talking about this. I'm not going from the hotel to the ballpark or the practice facility or the arena and simply back just to play sports. That's not even worth, you know, anybody's kind of, I don't even know what to say, that mental energy in a lot of different regards in terms of the kind of psychological pressure that puts athletes under in a position to perform. One of the interesting things, quickly though, to get back to Vogel tying into all of this, was what he said about the notion of playing exhibition games before a potential playoff situation as a way to get bodies warmed up. And that's where I think there's actually an interesting discussion here, George, is if you're going to play, like, which do you think is more suitable for what situation? Like, if you're going to go to the resort and if maybe you get everybody to get what they want in terms of where they want to stay, do you then play 20 games and then do the playoffs? Or do you, you know, because I don't know. I mean, they say they can only house a certain amount of playoff teams, but if you get people in a situation where they can actually play the games out, I don't know. I think the best situation is to go straight to the playoffs, lending itself to the resort. But I would not want to see a scenario in which it was like, here you go to the hotel, here you go to the arena, here you go back. That's not appealing to me, and it wouldn't be appealing to them either.
So I believe that Disney World makes the most sense. We've talked about this here. It's basically a 40-mile radius of landmass, right? 25 resorts on the property. So mm-hmm. In essence, almost every team can have their own resort, and all of them are very close by. You could quarantine yourself off from the rest of the world and just – yeah, okay, you can venture off, but you can only venture off in Disney World. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Magic Island. That's
it. Yeah, like you can only stay in on the park property, right? Like you can't leave the 40-mile radius. And I think that is more suitable potentially than some of the other options that are out there. But yeah, like I just think that I'm with you. I would rather start with the playoffs, but I don't think that that's feasible from a financial standpoint because a lot of these teams are going to want their RSN money and they don't want to have to write a check to these RSNs. So right now I looked at it. We're somewhere between 63 and 67 games played and the magic number is 70. So I think you could figure out a way there in Disney World, because they've already got the courts at the Disney Wide World of Sports, and they do the NBA Junior Jam tournament there. So they've got courts. They're wired for TV. All of that stuff is set up. I just think that you just play a modified version of the regular season, pick whatever amount of games you need to get to 70. Maybe you pick a number where everybody's playing the same amount, and yeah, some teams play a few more in totality than others, but you give everyone the same amount of games. That way there is no leg up per se on as far as, you know, being ready for a postseason.
I'm not going to lie. I actually think Vogel's idea is better. And I'm not saying for any reason other than, like, how mad would you be if because you played some modified fairness 7-game or 8-game schedule, somebody blows out a knee? Or somebody does something that, or, you know, I just, there's too much risk in playing a shortened regular season for the alleged concept of fairness, even though it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I just wouldn't risk that. I like the idea of 2 to 3 exhibition games. Bang, let's get to the tournament. I actually think that was pretty brilliant from Frank, and I'd be interested to see what the NBA thinks about that.
I'd rather do that, yes. I mean, again, my thing is, like, forget, I would just eliminate or go to the playoffs based on that. Here's what I would do. I'll take it a step further. Because my thing was, eliminate the teams that are not in the playoffs. Sorry, Portland Trail Blazers, that you're a game and a half back. Like, not sorry, bad. Dame. Right. Like, that's your bad. Like, I know it's, I know you guys had a lot of injuries and whatnot, but that's the way it goes sometimes. And so here's the deal. Give me the 16 playoff teams. Let them play exhibition games amongst each other.
Yes.
And that way you're eliminating the other 14 teams already.
Absolutely. Totally with you. I think that's brilliant. Where's our check? This should be happening.
Let's go. Let's do it. All right. Speaking of checks, there was a cut. Laura, can you find the Peter Burns cut? Peter Burns of the SEC Network, who I like. Give me the short one. I'm a big fan of his work on the SEC Network. But look, he's very pro-SEC, and I love him for it, okay? So he was doing his show on ESPN Radio over the weekend and talking about the financial disparity between the different conferences, right? The Pac-12 versus the ACC and the Big Ten and the SEC, the latter three, which have big money deals for their own conference channels, right? The Pac-12 has their own conference channel, but it's a bit of a pain in the butt. Not everybody can see it. They don't deal directly with ESPN or Fox like some of the other ones that I mentioned. So he went out and basically went nuclear on the Pac-12, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Play the cut, Laura.
The Pac-12 is done. The Pac-12 is done, guys. We already saw the writing on the wall when the schools, like in the ACC, the Big Ten, even the SEC, they're giving, what, $20 million per school because of their television networks to these universities. That's a $100 million difference in 5 years just right now. And to think that this is only going to expedite, this is only going to exponentially change it, how the Pac-12 ever gets back to being on equal footing, it's impossible. It cannot happen at this point. The only way the Pac-12 can somewhat survive this is that they go to the Big 12 and say, we've got to merge.
I mean, what? This seems aggressive and excessive, I think.
Oh, that ended on a serious... That was wow. Go to the Big 12 and merge? I don't even understand that. What would be the purpose of that for the Big 12? The only thing the Pac-12 needs is a TV deal that shows people who they are so people can remember that there are schools in, I don't know, Beaverton and Corvallis and wherever that town is there, Washington State is. It's not the schools. And I understand that the rotation of athletes in terms of how they're recruited and how they get to other things doesn't quite work at the top of the heap for men's basketball and football for the Pac-12. Pac-12 is pretty competitive in a lot of other things across the country. People just don't know. You know, if we could watch all of Texas sports on our family of networks, probably would best us to be able to watch the Pac-12 games too. That's what they need is exposure so they can get back to the level. You're not telling me that the Big 12 is making all that much difference when they can't even put a decent defense on a football team to go to the national title game. Come on. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Texas and Oklahoma, there's not really much there left in the Big 12.
Yeah. You're going to tell me what's going on with Baylor baseball? I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like, meanwhile, everybody knows about, I don't know. I just, to me, the notion that if a team doesn't have a good football footprint, that they're a bad conference is overblown. There's just certain economics and certain ways that the product works for the television standpoint that affects recruiting, that affects everything else, and that's the Pac-12's problem. Nobody watches it because nobody knows where to see it.
Well, here's the thing, and I think in their next round of negotiations in a couple years, what they should do is they should stick with either ESPN or Fox. They have them both right now. They're on both networks. And maybe that they feel like that's good. But they have their Pac-12 network, which is a disaster. But all the tech companies want in on the Pac-12.
Yes.
Facebook, Amazon, Apple. They all want in on the Pac-12. Like, because almost all of those alumni are working for those companies. You
of
know
course.
What I'm saying? Like, so they want to help the Pac-12. And that will help them financially, too. So I think that we're very... In a very short amount of time, I think that the money part of it will get taken care of. And here's the thing. All they need is for USC to beat USC again. Because
yes.
Oregon is still clearly one of the top teams in the country. And we see Herm Edwards is building something at Arizona State. So all you need is a couple of teams that people want to watch. And then everything is fine. But it all starts and ends with USC, in my opinion.
Yeah, and don't let the Pac-12 mess around and get it right. As Kanye used to say, where did I get my money right? If they get their money right, the Pac-12 is about to be a behemoth.
Right.
Because the Pac-12 represents an entire coast, not just a region of the country. You know what I'm saying? Which most of these other conferences do. If the Pac-12 figures this out, they move quickly to becoming a powerhouse, not slowly. And it's been too long for people to realize that it ain't that far away for them. It's just not, it's not that far away from an execution standpoint. It's just conceptually, it hasn't seemed to be able to happen.
Clint Yates, follow him on Twitter at Clint Yates. What do you got going on that you want people to see?
Quickly, so you mentioned the Last Dance at the top of the top of the segment. I've got a column coming out because the next two episodes are about when Michael Jordan went to Birmingham to play baseball. People forget Terry Francona manager one time with the Red Sox and now the Indians,
yep.
was his manager in Birmingham. There's a baseball tie there that's interesting. I've got a column coming out on the Undefeated about that on Monday. Talk to Francona during Baseball Tonight Live about it as well if you want to check that out. So I'm pumped. Watch that show. Read the column. That's what I'm here for.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for hanging out. We'll talk to you next week.
No doubt, guys. Have a good one.
See you. Have a great weekend. All right, there's Clint Yates. Coming up next, the Alliance lives. Steve Mason joins us. Don't forget Sean McVay at 11:30, Ben Lyons at 11:45. We're here for you. Action-packed hour. Sedano, 710 ESPN, back in three. The Sedano Variety Hour continues. Sean McVay joining us in 15 minutes. Ben Lyons at 11:45 for our weekly movie review. The Alliance lives.
It lives.
Yes, Steve Mason with us here. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easier to bundle your home and car insurance. And, of course, our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. They keep your family going with whole grain oats and real delicious honey. It's really tasty, too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. Mason, the Alliance, I love talking to you again. We're back.
You know, I love being back on the show. You guys are officially – I shouldn't say you guys. You, George, are my second favorite show on the station.
Yeah, besides Mason and Ireland.
Besides Mason and Ireland, of course. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like I've told you. You're going to beat me over the head with a stick in the first question you've got.
Not a stick. It's kind of like a fuzzy toy.
Fuzzy toy.
We heard this promo that's running on the station, and I wanted you to address it. So play the promo for Mace.
Well, you're not giving it to us, man.
Bring it. This is exciting. It only happens once a year.
Sleewee, how about a growl? How about a growl?
Growl.
Nobody's growling, okay?
No. Come on, Sliwa.
Oh, man.
Do it, Sliwa. Why do we act like fools and you won't? It's like you think you're above this. You think you're too.
That's exactly it.
Come on, give us a growl. Give us some excitement, some enthusiasm. Do it.
Like a wrestling growl, Sliwa.
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening right now?
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening?
They're just trying to awake the beast from within, you know?
Fudge, give us a growl. There you go.
There you go.
That sounds like great. A burp.
Listen, if Funch is in, I'm in.
Why is Sliwa anti-growl?
I have no idea. I don't know where that guy's enthusiasm is. I mean, they released the NFL schedules. He's in the middle of this big NFL schedule release program, and he doesn't bring any enthusiasm, any energy, any positive. He's like a flatliner. He's like just a flatliner. There's no heartbeat there. I'm like, bring it, man. And even if you heard his growl, it was like, it was like he was just like waking up in the morning. That was his growl. Yeah, very embarrassing.
We need to loosen him up. Do you think we can break Sliwa?
You know, I don't know if you hear that show every night, but that crosstalk, we are doing everything we can to break that little man. We are doing everything we possibly can. So if you want to chime in, you should bring him on and try to break him. Absolutely. We're trying to loosen him up a little bit. Sliwa at Sunset is a phenomenon. We want to make sure he lives up to that billing.
So it's funny. So I do the Last Dance recap show with him. And
Love that show.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, exactly. And he... every week, you know, he's got the Cincoro Tequila, which is one of the sponsors of the show, behind him. And every week, I notice there's less and less tequila in there, so I keep bringing it up. And he gets very uncomfortable when I bring that up. I'm like, you know, it's okay, you're a grown-ass man. You can have tequila.
Well, you know, the truth is, Sliwa, tequila's not his bag. You know what his favorite type of music is?
No, what?
It's reggae, man. He is a sativa man.
Really? So, but if he was a sativa man, I feel like he'd be way looser. Like, why is he so uptight then?
You're right. Maybe he is an OG indica guy. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's an indica guy, and that's why we get no energy out of him. You're right. You're right, George. You've uncovered the secret. He's an indica guy.
Yeah, because I feel like he's definitely too uptight, unless he's just being paranoid with the sativa. And that's why, you know, there could be that too.
More uptight than Alan Sliwa. Like, if you look up uptight in the dictionary, there is Sliwa's picture.
So, I didn't know he was a reggae guy. Did you uncover that during your crosstalk?
We did. We uncovered that. That's one of the many things we've uncovered. You know, he lives in a small cubicle, one-room apartment in Chinatown with no friends, no girlfriend, no lady friends, no wife, no dog. It's just him alone in his room with some indica and a bottle of Sakura tequila. That's all he's got.
Oh, it's funny. Hey, so real quick, I want to ask you something. So did you see this Dave Roberts interview he did on some podcast?
No, it's news to me. It's news to me.
You saw it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. So get this. So here's what he said. When asked about his hiring, he said, from the very beginning when I took this job and they parted ways with Mattingly and Andrew Friedman and Farhan were there running baseball operations from day one, whoever the manager was going to be deemed as a puppet, Robert said.
What?
So now, yeah. So now it's just something I've got to deal with. I know what's real, what's not real, but there's a narrative that was built from the very beginning. Whether I take a pitcher out because he's doing well, it's analytics. Whether it goes bad, it's the analytics. When I do something that goes against the analytics, well, you should have used the analytics. You can't win and you can't play the game that way. I'm at peace with all of that. What do you make of that?
So he says he knows he's a puppet?
No. He says he's deemed that way and he doesn't believe that, but it's just the narrative that's out there and he's just done fighting it.
I think there is in Ireland, and I'll disagree on this, he thinks everything is done by Andrew Friedman. I personally think there's a script written for the game. Hey, in this situation, you want to do this. In this situation, you want to do that. I think that does exist, but there is no way the analytics said that Clayton Kershaw, after giving up a home run to Anthony Rendon, should have stayed in the game to face Juan Soto when you had Adam Kolarik, who was a Soto killer, in the bullpen. Greg will know this inside out. But I think sometimes he does play against the analytics. I think he sometimes does have the ability and the permission to play his hunches. But there's no question that an awful lot of what he does, I believe, comes from the front office. Now, they have a meeting before the game. Friedman's there. Roberts is there. And I think they collaborate on that script. Roberts says, hey, why don't we try this? Friedman says, no, let's do that. I think they collaborate on the script at the very beginning. But then I don't think he varies very much from it.
Yeah, I agree. And then, but generally, when he does vary, when he gets off the script, that's when it hurts him the most. Which is this, which is why you got to stick to the script. And there's not an issue with that. Like, I feel like the best teams in sports, regardless of the sport, are aligned, right? Like you and I, the alliance,
the alliance. You want alliance between ownership, team president, general manager, manager, and big star player. You want that. You see it in the NBA all the time. Those are the best run organizations. That's actually what the Lakers have going for them right now. You've got complete alignment in the organization from Jeannie Buss to Rob Pelinka to LeBron James. They're clearly all on the same page, and that's what the Dodgers need. And frankly, I think that's what the Dodgers have got. I'm surprised that Dave Roberts addressed this particular issue and let the word puppet leave his mouth. But I guess everybody else says it, so he doesn't mind throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't think it matters to him. Like, it's just kind of water off his back. You mentioned the Lakers. Frank Vogel was on the show yesterday.
You're getting the big names.
I'm making Bergman work, all right? I'm making him actually do something for a change, okay?
Exactly, exactly.
So Vogel was on, and I asked him, was there anything that, he's a film rat, so I asked him, is there anything you've seen in the film now with hindsight and time, right, on your side that maybe stood out to you? Here's what he said yesterday.
Well, I think just going back and watching our tapes now, in hindsight with some time in between the games, we're better than I felt when we were in the season. When you're coaching the team, every little thing that's wrong, you want to correct it, you want to get it better, you want to improve it, you want to fix it. But if you step away, like we've been able to do, the film that I've been watching of late, and really exciting and encouraging, for me, for basically leaving me with the feeling that I wouldn't want to play against us. Because we have a heck of a team. We're doing some really good things with our running game offensively, our spacing, our ability to play with the pass. We've been impressive on film for the studies that I've done of late, and it just left me encouraged and eager to get back.
Do you think they're better than we gave them credit for?
Well, I think, 5 years ago when we were all at that Milwaukee game, it seems like it was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we saw a team that was peaking. They went on to beat the Clippers on that Sunday. They did lose that Brooklyn game, but that was a little bit of a trap game. But I think we were seeing a team that was moving into a peak headed towards the playoffs. They were getting better. I mean, they got their doors blown off by Milwaukee earlier in the season. The Clippers had beaten them twice. They beat both of those teams on that final weekend of the season, the final weekend that we had of the season. So I think that they were absolutely improving, and they were on that trajectory, right? They were on that trajectory headed to the playoffs, on the roller coaster up as they were getting to it. So, yeah, I mean, I think they were getting better when we saw them, and maybe after a little bit of a break, maybe this will work to their advantage. Maybe they will be fresher. Maybe LeBron will have fresher legs. I mean, there's a real chance that they could benefit from this layoff.
All right, Mace, I got McVay coming up. I got the Rams at 11-5. Where do you got him?
I got him 11-5. I'm exactly where you are. Ireland has him at 10-6. I think he is a downer. I think they are 11-5. I feel great about it.
Yeah, I had them 10-6 at first. Then I re-looked at the schedule and I said, you know what? We did it on the air. We did the very prototypical sports radio segment of that's a win, that's a loss. And I came up with 11-5. You and I, the Alliance lives at 11-5.
11-5. We agree on absolutely everything, including that Bergman is a pain in the ass.
Huge pain in the ass. Thank you for stopping by. Have a great show and a great weekend.
Cool. Thanks, George.
See ya. There he is, Steve Mason. Sean McVay coming up in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews today, there was a ton of them, and they were really fun. Joey Fatone, Mace, Clinton Yates. Check out our entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast. Yesterday, Frank Vogel and Clay Helton, brought to you by Capital One. And again, you can check it out in the ESPN app, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And with Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. If you're missing basketball, tune in Sunday for an NBA Classic, Game 4 of the 1998 NBA Finals between the Bulls and the Jazz, presented by the Home Depot. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock Pacific in the afternoon on ESPN Radio, 710 ESPN, and the ESPN app. So here's the deal with Sean McVay. He was set to join us here at 11:30. We just got a message, right, Greg, from the Rams saying that all of us, you know, he's got some stuff that came up last second, right?
Yes, and that he just needed, it was have to be a really, really short interview. And now he just got back to me and said that he will do Monday at the same time.
Okay, so there you go. So it was either do 5 minutes with Sean McVay, which, let's face it, if you've ever heard us talk to Sean McVay, it's never going to be 5 minutes. So, like, we like talking to him about all sorts of stuff beyond football. And I didn't want to compromise the interview. You know what I mean? Like, it's 5 minutes is literally two, maybe three questions. So I don't think that that does us a service. I don't think it does the Rams any service. It does them a little bit of a disservice. And it certainly does the audience a bit of a disservice. So, I think the Rams are so good. Artists and those guys who work in the public relations, the media relations group there are so fantastic. We appreciate all their help. So you heard it. Sean will be on Monday at 11:30. So Monday at 11:30, we'll talk to Coach McVay, and we'll talk to him about everything that we were going to discuss, including where he's at on Game of Thrones, about his experience during the draft and all the players that they added, because we haven't talked to him since the draft. And then we will talk to him about the schedule and just kind of what he thinks about the way it laid out and how see if he agrees with me on my 11-5 prediction. So we'll talk to Sean at 11:30 on Monday. And again, thanks to the Rams for giving us the heads up, to be honest with you, and asking us what we wanted to do there. We appreciate the flexibility and just the partnership that we have with them. So Sean, 11:30 Monday. This time Monday, we'll be right here with Sean McVay. So anyway, Bergman. Do we get? I want to get Sliwa on the phone.
Sliwa?
Is he there?
Yes, he should be there now.
Sliwa, are you there?
What's up, George?
All right, so let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. You want to play the audio first?
I will get there, Greg. Hold on a second. What do we got to do to loosen you up? Okay, because listen, this is what's happening here. I just had Mason on. I don't know if you know me and Mason. We're the Alliance. We have forged an alliance, right? Yeah. And I heard this promo running on the station. And I love you, Sliwa. I do. You know I love you. But I was a little disappointed in you when I heard this promo. Play the promo, Laura.
Sliwa, you're not giving it to us, man.
Bring it. This is exciting. It only happens once a year.
Sliwa, how about a growl? How about a growl?
Growl.
Nobody's growling, okay?
No. Come on, Sliwa.
Oh, man.
Do it, Sliwa.
Why do we act like fools and you won't? It's like you think you're above this. You think you're
that's exactly it.
School.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Come on, give us a growl. Give us some excitement, some enthusiasm. Do it.
Like a wrestling growl, Sliwa.
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening right now?
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening?
They're just trying to awake the beast from within, you know?
Fudge, give us a growl.
Ah!
There you go.
Ah!
There you go. That sounded like a burp.
Listen, if Funch is in, I'm in.
What, Sliwa, why can't you get down with Mason in Ireland? Why do you feel like you're better than them?
I love the picture that Mason is painting. Yeah, that's definitely. When I hop on, I say I am just so much better than Mason in Ireland. I will never fall in. Here's the thing, George. They throw me off, man. I have no idea where they're going every single show. Every single show, I get thrown a curveball out of nowhere. Not accustomed to any of that at all. It's let's just say it's a different style. Gotta get used to it.
This is sports radio, baby. You gotta be ready for every curveball, off-speed pitch, fastball, high heat at your head. That's what you've gotten yourself into now.
Well, listen, that part I love. It's the pop culture questions, and it's the name that tune, all these stuff that I have no idea about. But it's all good. Just getting accustomed to it, George.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you know who Joey Fatone is?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Isn't that the Backstreet? Was it Backstreet or NSYNC?
NSYNC. All right, look, that's not so bad. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
You see, Sliwa, it's not so hard. You know, just you got to expand the palate, man. Let me ask you this. Are you one of these guys who only eats the same kind of food all the time, or no?
No. Definitely eat everything.
So if you can expand the palate with your food, you got to expand your palate with life, man. Let's go.
I'm definitely on the spot there on the Mason House. I got no choice. I'm starting to research things that I would have never researched in life. So I'm working on it. Let's just say it's a very slow progress on that front. What did Mace say today? Did Mace did he go at it again with Sliwa? Is that Mace has definitely?
He said you have no lady friends. Do we got to help you in that department, Sliwa? Do we got to play the dating game here on the station for you?
No. I'm all good. I'm all good. It's just, you know, there's certain amounts you share in life and certain you don't. I'm good. I'm good on that front.
Okay. All right. You're doing good with the ladies? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, all good. Nope.
Like if we had to label you a type of player, are you like a starter? Are you like an all-star? Are you an MVP caliber player with the ladies? What are we talking about here?
You're saying describing that as a player?
Yeah, like if we were going to describe your dalliances with the ladies, are you like a role player? Are you a starter? Are you an all-star, or are you an MVP caliber player?
I'm just a consistent veteran, You know what you're going to get. Consistent veteran.
So like, you know, so somewhere between like a role player and a starter, like you are, we know what we're getting night in and night out.
That's probably the best way to describe it. Right there.
What is your level of uncomfortableness right now from 1 to 10, 10 being most uncomfortable, 1 being least uncomfortable?
I'm good. Actually, you know, what's funny, George, it's so much different. Like, if you just think about it this way, what I do on the Lakers front, and we're just talking Lakers basketball, doing the pre, the post, and then jumping into the Sliwa show, it's just different. Like, all of this stuff on a day-to-day basis is completely different. Only been doing it now for a couple of months. The Mason and Ireland thing, that is completely different from what I'm accustomed to. So it's all good.
We got to loosen you up. We got to get you going, all right? We got to stretch you out early before the game, get you ready to roll. That's what you need to do. You need to do the proverbial stretch, the mind stretch, to be ready to do your crosstalk with Mason in Ireland.
Well, I might be coming to you for some advice.
Okay. As someone who did purgatory with them for a year, like, I know. But see, here's the key. You got to fight back, Sliwa. You got to pivot. You got to send them into a frenzy. That's the move.
Yeah, there needs to be more of that. I've allowed too much of the,
Don't let them push you around, damn it.
Yeah, George. Look, this is already good advice.
All right, good. All right, you have a great show tonight. Go have a great weekend. We'll check in on you soon.
All right, Sedano.
I'll talk to you Sunday. There you go. Sunday, last dance. Sliwa and I on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account. So you have it. Do you think I did good there by Sliwa? What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I think so. You helped him out. Maybe he'll be a little looser when he goes on with them now and start taking shots back.
Yeah. Laura, he's got to fire back, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, 100%. But I meant like shots, like Patron shots, like liquor shots to loosen him up.
That could work,
Sincoro.
Too.
Yeah,
he's got
Sincoro.
The Sincoro tequila sitting there. Yeah, exactly. Just drink that, Sliwa. Just drink that. Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Television. And listen to me and Sliwa on the wrap-up show immediately following the broadcast at 8 Pacific on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Sincoro Tequila, which I'm going to make Sliwa drink a shot of on the air, and Coors Light. I'm going to make him drink the Sincoro Tequila, and I'm going to make him chase it with some Coors Light.
Will you make him shotgun it, the Coors Light?
Maybe.
Pop on the side?
I got to do something to get people to watch this thing. So we'll do that. All right. Ben Lyons is going to join us next. It's time for our weekly movie review. This week we're doing our top five athletes, right, in a movie role. Is that what you sent him this week, Greg?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what we're doing with Ben Lyons, our weekly movie review. We love talking to Ben. We'll talk some sports with him, too, and then we'll get into the movie stuff with him. Stick around. Final segment coming up. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Yeah, yeah. Weekend's here. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN. When it comes to insurance, State Farm's the real deal. With over 19,000 local agents and an award-winning mobile app, you can get the help that you need when you need it. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com. If you were tuning in and you missed the explanation for Sean McVay, Sean McVay is going to be on Monday at 11:30. Something came up. Coach needs to do something football-wise, and the Rams were kind enough to let us know that either we were going to do like a five-minute interview, which, let's face it, I just don't think that works for any of us. Like, it's not good for them, it's not good for us, it's not good for you, particularly the audience. So we just appreciate how flexible they are, and Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, will be on with us 11:30 Monday. So 11:30 Monday, tune in, we'll have fun, we'll catch up with Coach, see where he's at in Game of Thrones as he's been rewatching it. Well, not rewatching it, watching it for the first time, and just talk some football with Coach. As we always do. So, Ben Lyons joins us for our weekly movie review. We bumped you for McVay, and then he didn't show up, Lyons.
Well, George, I just love talking about competition, and we're really fired up for Dallas Week 1 and SoFi. Oh, no, you guys do have him on the phone. You have him on the show. He's here. Yeah. Coach McVay. I love talking competition, George.
Yeah. And, of course, Bergman got this wrong. Bergman's had a rough week with getting details wrong this week. It's McVay at 11. Sorry. McVay at 11 on Monday. So there you go. Bergman, what is wrong with you with details this week?
Originally, he said that he wanted to do 11:30, and I said, oh, we already have somebody there. Can we do 11? And he got back to me and said 11 works. So I was telling you.
I'm just going to blame you. So there
that's
you.
Fine.
So McVay at 11 on Monday. McVay at 11 on Monday. And Andrea Kramer is going to join us at 11:30. She's a big part of The Last Dance. She covered the Jordan era for ESPN at that particular time. And, and NBC and whatnot. So she's going to join us. We'll talk Last Dance with her. Speaking of Last Dance, Ben, before we get into anything else, what did you make of the episodes that came out this weekend? First, you had the Kobe stuff, which obviously was emotional for many people here. And then you had Jordan getting into the gambling and Jordan getting into the quote of Republicans buy shoes, too. What did you make of all of that?
Well, it's just a reminder, George, of how different the times were, right? I mean, think about it today. I often do that with documentaries about sports from that era. Think about if LeBron James had to address gambling issues and he did it with an interview with sunglasses on to defuse the situation. Like, it would be memed and ripped apart and destroyed. So it's just amazing to watch how different our conversation around athlete and celebrity was. And Jordan, the fact that he thought he could even go down to Atlantic City and no one would know that is a crazy just sort of insight into how different the mindset of a professional athlete was back then.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Like, yeah, when you watch back that Ahmad Rashad interview, you can watch it on YouTube. It's pretty hilarious. So let me ask you a couple things here. We talked about this week, about KD and the potential of a return or whatnot. What would you do if you were the Nets? Would you play KD if he was cleared?
Play KD this season as the Brooklyn Nets 7 seed in this makeshift, let's go for it, kind of whatever we're going to do post. Yeah, I would. Kevin Durant is a hooper, George. That guy has touched basketball at every level. And look, you can only put him on ice for so long. He's been working out. He's been playing 5-on-5, I believe, for about a month now, or at least when people were doing that, you know. So I think you do give it a shot with Kevin, and you make a run in whatever kind of makeshift playoffs you do. You only have him for this window. It's not like you're in the 10-year Kevin Durant business. You're in the 3.5-year business with Kevin Durant. So if he feels good, you got to trust him. He's a hooper.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd take that chance. I'm usually not the conservative type man, but I just think you've invested in him for several years, and we're talking an Achilles. There's only been one guy that on the perimeter, at least, that's come back as good or better, and that was Dominique Wilkins. I understand KD's game is different, and he's much more of a shooter, but he does need some of his athleticism. I don't know if I would
and
do
the
that.
Kyrie of it. Well, you got to factor in the Kyrie of it, George, and that Kyrie's out. Right?
Right.
Like if he were healthy and you had Kevin back and you could see if this thing works in a playoff situation, why not make a run at it? But maybe you're right considering the Kyrie of it, that he definitely will not be available till the fall.
Yeah. Frank Vogel was on with us yesterday. He said that, and if you guys missed that in the audience, you could always go back to the podcast and listen to it there. Sedano Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, ESPN app, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcast. He said that with hindsight, I asked him, you know, you're a film rat. What are you watching, you know, on film? What have you seen about your team that maybe stood out to you? And he actually said that, you know, it's funny when you're coaching and you're in the midst of it, you're trying to correct everything and every little detail. And now when I watch it back, I'm like, man, we might have been better than I thought we were at that particular time. Do you believe we undersold the Lakers a little bit?
1,000%. I'll be the first one to admit that I did, you know, and it was always this debate, George, of, well, they haven't played anyone yet. Well, they have, look at their record. They haven't beaten the good teams. They have, well, then all of a sudden they had the big weekend against the Clippers in Milwaukee back, you know, Friday and Sunday, and they looked fantastic. And all of a sudden you look and they lost one game out of Los Angeles for the first 2.5 months of the year or something crazy like that. Just they were pulling out bonkers stats of wins, and all of a sudden you're sitting here in the middle of March when all this shut down and they had, what, 10 wins? 10 losses? 11 losses?
Yeah.
Their record's insane. And so I think Vogel having that hindsight, and also good for him to have that self-awareness to be like, when you're in it, you're just a perfectionist. You're tweaking every detail. Should we play Caruso 20 minutes or 18 minutes? Like, you're really fine-tuning the machine. But then you look at it and you're like, wait a minute. This team destroyed everyone this year. They're really good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that, and I do think that he's just a good dude. So he has that kind of self-awareness. Like, I'm not necessarily surprised by it. Schedule-wise, Rams schedule comes out, Raiders, Chargers. We were doing the that's a win, that's a loss earlier on the show. Where are you on the Rams, Raiders, and Chargers as you look at their schedule? How are you feeling about those teams?
I'm a big Rams guy. You know I'm a Rams fan, George, but I got to be honest. I'm calling 8-8 right now when I look at the schedule. I think that first three-game stretch coming out against Dallas, the Bills on the road, Philadelphia on the road, that's a tough run to start things off. And the division's so tough. Goff might be the fourth quarterback in the division. Might be. Definitely the third. So I don't know, George. I do not want to put huge expectations of double-digit wins on this team after they lose Todd Gurley, who's been their centerpiece for so long. Too many question marks right now. Let's see him do it on the field.
Adrian Wojnarowski, by the way, is breaking some news as we're talking here, so I'm just going to read this out loud, and then you and I can discuss before we get to our movie review with you, okay? So here's what Woj is dropping right now. Let me make sure I find the first one. Story filed to ESPN. In municipalities where coronavirus testing has become readily available for at-risk healthcare workers, teams are opening facilities for voluntary workouts, will be allowed to administer COVID-19 tests to asymptomatic players and staff. That's a change, because remember, a week ago, they had said they didn't want to test asymptomatic types, people who weren't showing they weren't showing any sort of, what's the word I'm looking for right now? Symptoms, yes, right now. So anyway, Woj adds, organizations such as the Magic, Lakers, and Clippers are expected to be among those able to conduct coronavirus tests of every player and staff member re-entering facilities for workouts, regardless of whether they're experiencing symptoms. He adds, the NBA recently informed teams of a limited exception to guidelines. Essentially, the NBA will approve written authorization from local health authorities that confirm a robust testing program in place for at-risk healthcare workers in the team's community. So the teams are going to be helping the at-risk workers in these particular communities. So that's great news here in Los Angeles with those two particular teams and, of course, across the board. And here is another piece of information from Woj just a minute ago. Orlando has been granted written authorization from Orange County, their Department of Health, and approval from the NBA to test its players for the coronavirus, a team spokesman said. I think, like, look, this is just me winging it off the top of our head here, Ben. I actually think that is good news in lights of a potential resumption to the season.
Yeah, it just shines a light on the fact that this is a step-by-step process and a fluid situation. And as you and I are reacting to it in real time, we do both share the sentiment that this is a positive in the hopes of getting basketball for the men and the women back on the court as soon as possible. So I think Adam Silver has done an amazing job of understanding the fluidity of this situation. A week ago, it didn't make sense to test players when essential healthcare workers couldn't be involved or get support. Now that has changed, so he's willing to change. I think that's good. And the fact that they're putting our essential health workers at the forefront of it, of their decision, and not the players, I think is another encouraging sign as well.
Yeah, I love it. And Woj actually just dropped another one. Oh, no, it's just about the Orlando Magic. It's not about the Lakers. It's just so we'll continue. All right, we got a couple minutes here. It's time for the movie review. This week we're doing top five athletes in a movie. Where are we going, Ben Lyons?
All right, here we go. At number five in 1980, the classic Roger Murdoch performance from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar coming right off his sixth MVP championship. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes. A great moment for Kareem. At number four, Mike Tyson in The Hangover changed the course of a ridiculous, insane, iconic movie from The Tattoo and The Tiger and really helped sort of rebrand the image and on the persona of Mike Tyson in pop culture. At number three, really nuanced performance, actually, if you go back and watch it, Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride. A very tender role for him, and unfortunately didn't get to do much in terms of acting. But in that performance, he's never you know, he's unforgettable. I love The Princess Bride. At number two, again, this is one of those, George, imagine if they did it today, okay? Reggie Jackson coming out of the field to shoot the Queen of England. I must kill the Queen. He's got a pistol under second base. They literally like had meetings about this, and it was approved. It's crazy to think about, but a hilarious movie, Naked Gun. I watched it again. I think it's on Netflix now. I watched it again about 2 weeks ago or something. It still holds up. I love the Reggie Jackson cameo. And at number one, if you really think about it, George, because you and I have been going on doing this segment now a couple weeks, and we talk about He Got Game a lot. The fact that Ray Allen didn't blow that movie, the fact that Jesus Shuttlesworth could hold his own with Denzel and Lala Bonilla, Rosario Dawson, and give us an honest portrayal of what it's like to be a high-profile basketball recruit, I thought it was tremendous. And I wish Ray would go on to do some acting in his civilian life. So I'm going to go with Ray Allen, and He Got Game.
I listen, you nailed it. I mean, all those were fantastic. And yeah, Ray Allen, who knew that he could be a dramatic actor? Like, that was as impressive. I've had these conversations with him. He says it's arguably the hardest thing he's ever had to do in his entire life.
Yeah, it's really amazing to go toe-to-toe with Denzel Washington for an entire film. That's got to put you right at the top of the list. I was tempted to put Cam Neely from the diner scene in Dumb and Dumber, but sadly didn't make the top five.
Ben, thank you so much for stopping by, man. We started the show with Joey Fatone, and we ended it with you, all right? So like that.
I used to intern for Joey Fatone's agent when Lance Bass was trying to go to space. It was another lifetime ago, George.
There you go. Bringing it all together like only you can. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Be safe this weekend. Take care.
All right. You too. Take care. Ben Lyons with us there for his weekly movie review. So this Woj thing, Bergman, is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's very good. The fact that we're not taking away any tests from anybody is a huge, huge step.
Yeah. Here's what he said about he got word from the Orlando Magic about this. As he says, quote, "We've been assured that we are not taking any tests from healthcare workers, first responders, or anyone, whether they are experiencing symptoms or asymptomatic. As we've been told, the general public in our community can go to numerous locations and receive a coronavirus test." Now, here in L.A., we know that Mayor Garcetti about a week or so ago, basically said anyone here in L.A. can get tested, whether they're asymptomatic or not. So the Lakers and Clippers can also now help this cause as well. So I think that, look, there's going to be a lot of little steps here, okay? A lot of little steps before we get back. But I do think that we can end on this note today, that this is another step in the right direction for trying to curtail the virus, trying to help the people in need, and also get a slice of normalcy back, which has been our big slogan here, and try to get sports back and give people an escape that they need. And that, let's face it, we now know more so than we had maybe previously that sports absolutely provide. So good news heading into the weekend. Thanks to all our guests, Joey Fatone, Ben Lyons, Clint Yates, and Steve Mason, and Alan Sliwa. Don't forget that Sean McVay will join us at 11 o'clock on Monday. So tune in for that. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to you guys for tuning in as well. We love you. Be safe. Have a great weekend.